League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Pirates earlier this year, now with the Padres. And he sends one high and deep, right center field. Grisham back, it is off the wall. That'll be another RBI for Tucker. And after having no triples all year, he has two triples in one inning. It's 12-1. What the Evan Gattis is happening?
What the tuck?
What the tuck indeed. Wait a second. The Paul Gallant Show, the show obsessed with football, is starting off talking about the Houston Astros on Monday, September 11th of 2023. Not about the opening weekend of the NFL. Yeah, we're doing that because we don't really want to talk about what happened on Sunday, because I'm going to feel like a crazy person if I talk about what happened yesterday. It's actually better than it looks. No, I don't work at the flagship anymore. We don't do that. So lost in the shuffle of a weekend where you saw a really important football win took place in another state, but it was a big win for this state. And on top of that, where the Cowboys absolutely dusted the New York Giants 40-0 in Sunday night football, instead of focusing on the other thing that happened in the backyard, I feel like we should start by talking about Old Reliable. Because the Astros did increase their lead in the American League West. I just felt like we should start off the show with that, to remind people that there are still good things in Houston sports. It's still happening. It's maybe on the back burner because it's football season, and let's be honest, for the most part, we like football more than baseball. We just like that the Astros are very good. But after a dud of a loss on Friday, I was there. Shout out to my Hornitos Bar homies. Had a lemonade or two up there. Just kidding. I had two $70 El Tiempo margaritas. And it wasn't fun to watch what happened on Friday, but on Saturday they win 7-5. Yesterday they win 12-2. And you should be happy on this day. Okay? That's all we're trying to say here. And we don't want to make everyone that listens to this show get pissed off by talking about the Houston Texans. Is that okay? Sean, we were walking up the stairs and into the building, and I think you said it best. We're going to make sure that you get your Astros content, but occasionally we will talk about the football team here.
Yes, yes. Just know whenever we're talking later in the show, when we talk about the Houston Texans, there will be Astros content
right
around it. Much like if you're trying to give your dog medicine, you put a little medicine, a little pill inside a thing of peanut butter.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
And right.
Astros peanut butter. Hey, look at the AOS standings. Woo! Hey.
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick. You know, Chaz McCormick probably loves this plan.
Oh, hey.
We'll put the medicine into some banana pudding for you. And then, yeah. So we'll don't worry. If you want Texans talk, we will be breaking down all 60 minutes of, I don't know, the one play that Michael Dieter was out there.
Oh, boy. And, oh, boy.
But we'll also, again, you know, keep tabs with the number one team in Houston.
Yes, that is the Astros.
By far the number one team.
By far. By very far. And I'll admit, I mean, I barely watched Friday's game because I was, a man of the people. I was hanging out with my Hornitos bar homies. It was a good night. I don't remember what happened on Friday. I didn't watch Saturday. I didn't watch Sunday. I shouldn't have to because the Astros are old, reliable, and they should take care of business against an underachieving Padres team this year. And I suppose, I mean, we could drift into the Houston Texans right now, but no, we can't even do that. We can't. Because actually, the biggest thing that took place this weekend in the world of sports in Texas happened on Saturday night as the Texas Longhorns went on the road to Tuscaloosa and took down the Alabama Crimson Tide 34-24. Sean Mapes, as the resident official UT fan, you are now allowed to gloat. He is putting on his Texas Bull hat. And that was a really impressive win.
Make sure Twitch, because it's actually too high that Twitch actually can't quite, it doesn't fit in the frame.
Of course, we need to get a better camera for the producer in a studio here.
Yes, it was a great win. One of the top, I don't know, two wins in the last 15 plus years.
It definitely is. I mean, now, I don't want to put the cold bucket of ice on everybody's pants right now and say this does have some similarities. It's different because it's Alabama versus Notre Dame. But at the beginning of 2016, I went to that game where they got into that back and forth, Shane Buechele outguns Notre Dame, and everyone was feeling great. The Charlie Strong era. It's finally working.
Hell yeah.
That was literally two coaches ago. So here we are with Steve Sarkisian going on the road to Alabama with this Texas team. And I know everyone hates, specifically Texas fans, to hear the question asked, is Texas back? Here's what I can say, though. Now, with them the number four team in the country, their highest ranking since 2010. If you look at those two games against Alabama in totality over the last 2 years, it is clear that top to bottom, Texas is more talented than Alabama. Now, is that a reflection of Nick Saban and where Alabama's program is going? I'm not 100% sure. And I think Saturday was maybe a little bit more than in the first game that these two teams played against one another. I think Saturday maybe was a little bit more about the quarterback discrepancy. Because Quinn Ewers, when he was healthy in that first game against Alabama, I mean, he played great. Bryce Young was awesome in that game. But I felt like at the very least, both teams did have good quarterbacks, assuming there was no injury. This year, my God, there was a massive discrepancy between Quinn Ewers and what's-his-face for Alabama, who I don't even think is worthy of me remembering his name. He sucked.
Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, he stunk.
This is actually the first time in the Nick Saban era that a University of Texas quarterback has actually made it to the second quarter against Alabama.
You know what?
That's a great point.
Look what happens.
Look what happens.
Well, they have the quarterback for the whole game. The defensive performance, Hill is awesome. Oh my God, that guy's a freshman. He is terrifying. They really played well in this game, and I do think that it is a reflection of just the level of talent that Texas now has, which I do think you can argue it's up there with everybody. Is it Georgia? Georgia's in an entirely separate class, I think, right now. But if you're a UT fan out there, you should be very proud. And something we're probably going to have to figure out by the end of the show, no offense, Sean, is how do we keep UT fans down? Because we don't... I like what I saw on the field, but a couple of my friends are psychotic UT fans, and I enjoy that they're happy today, but I don't know if I can handle arrogant UT fan. I don't know if I can handle that, Sean.
Get ready.
Because it hasn't existed since I have been here. It has not existed. There have been moments of excitement, but they're generally just flare-ups, and then there's a lot of woe is me from Texas fans. So here we are now in a situation where UT can legitimately walk around with their pants down and feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah. I know I'm going to turn people off if this football season's actually a successful one for Texas. I know by the end of the season, everyone, including Dale, who just walked in behind me, he does not like the hat I'm wearing. He does not.
He's shaking his head. He's crossing his throat. He's
he doesn't
gave
like
horns down.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't like
the
it.
Horns down.
I'm curious. I'm curious.
Blurred out on the Twitter.
Listen, Sean, there it is. Okay, we're not blurring out a horns down, okay? We don't censor things here. And look, I identify as UT because I'm arrogant and really intelligent. So I would have probably gone to UT, you know? Everyone knows this. But I think when we come to the end of this year, I'm a little stressed by the UT fan arrogance that I know is coming. Because it would be stolen valor for me to join in on that.
With the Astros, stuffed you before.
With the Astros, it was different, though, because it's different with a college. You can't go full all in, unless you're a Cougs fan like me. But
God
like,
forbid the University of Texas have fans that didn't go to the school.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's a thing.
That you'd be the first one of those.
That is a thing, 100%. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's, you know, allow me to get a little reflective, nostalgic.
Do it. We still haven't talked Texans, by the way. Shout out to us.
By the end, I mean, they might, Quinn Ewers might be the next Texans quarterback. We'll get to that later.
Hey. Stroud wasn't the problem yesterday.
So my first memory of Texas football growing up.
Yeah.
Was a guy named Vince Young.
Humble brag.
Yeah. Yeah. Winning the Rose Bowl against Michigan, getting on the stage and saying, next year, we'll be right back here again. Because the national championship was also going to be the Rose Bowl. And then they go undefeated, including beating everyone by a million points the entire regular season, except for Ohio State. Then they beat this team called the greatest team of all time, the 2005 USC Trojans. But they lost and also cheated. Because Reggie Bush got a house. Not that anyone cares.
No one cares about that at all.
And then there's 4 years of this guy, another quarterback named Colt McCoy.
Yeah. Did he play in the national championship?
He did. In his fourth year of winning 10 games at the University of Texas. My first 6 years of being a Texas fan. It was Vince Young and Colt McCoy literally winning 10 games every year. That is what Texas did. And then blah blah blah, they stunk for like, or they've been different versions of disappointing and mediocre all up until now. I'm ready to go back to my old ways of being annoying, chesty. I'm ready to look down upon all you little people that root for all your little schools.
I like it. I'm intrigued.
SEC ready.
Oh, no. I'm intrigued by arrogant memes, but I do think, this might be a tad in Silverball by the end of the football season. Are you going to wear this every single Monday after a win?
No, maybe.
Just this one.
Yeah. Maybe if they make the playoff or something.
Is this win worthy of getting a tattoo the same way that it seems online that somebody, a Ravens fan, got a tattoo after the Texans, they took him down 25-9 yesterday?
Someone did that.
Someone actually, I sent it to you in the text line before we got in here. Someone actually did that. Someone actually did that.
All right.
I'm a diehard Ravens fan.
No, because
I'm guessing he's going to try to get a full sleeve of all the victims of the Ravens over the course of the year because he thinks this is going to be a Super Bowl season.
Half the victims are on their team. They could make out the stadium alive.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. They tore their ACLs.
It wasn't a Ray Lewis joke.
Yes. No. They're all going to miss the rest of the football season.
Correct.
No, because as much fun as I'm having, as you know, the team, they got to celebrate Saturday and maybe even Sunday. And then today, it's time to get back to work. It's time. Wyoming's coming to town on Saturday. There's still a rest of the season to play for the Texas Longhorns. I did not get – well, I got to celebrate Saturday and Sunday. But I didn't get to celebrate in front of a microphone, which, I mean, if I'm not celebrating in front of a microphone, what am I even doing?
What's the point?
So after today, you'll get – you got a little bit of arrogant, chesty mapes. Now you're going to go back to – you know, focus on the grind.
Taking it one day at a time. Not looking ahead on the schedule.
We're on to Wyoming.
We're on to Wyoming. Okay.
Hey, Wyoming, Wyoming beat Texas Tech. All right, they're a live team.
Yeah, you definitely get at least two more days of chestiness.
I maybe snide comments, but I won't be wearing the hat for the whole week.
Okay, fair enough. He is Sean Mapes behind the glass.
Text back.
UT fan, there it is. He said it. We're writing it down
for today,
September 11th of 2023.
Never forget
a day that will live in infamy and potentially in infamy for UT fans because of what Sean Mapes just said right there. Damn. On this day of all days, Sean. I don't know if you should have said that. I can jokingly say that. I don't think a Texas fan should say Texas is back.
No, they're back, .. for today.
Yeah.
Same thing as when they beat Georgia. And they won 10 games and beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl in 2018.
Okay.
They're back for that day.
Okay.
And then what matters most, what you do after it. That team went 8-5. That's not enough. Oh.
This is dangerous. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5.
You buried the Rangers. They're two games back.
I'm a baseball savant, as everyone knows. Anyway, hey guys, we didn't talk about the Texans the whole first segment. Props to us. That was by design. The question for you guys today: is it still fair to make fun of the Texans? Because some people were doing it during yesterday's game. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. You know, if you're going to play like they did on Sunday, sometimes it's nice to have something extra to just keep you calm during the game. To have something really refreshing on Sunday. And that is what Pendleton Whiskey can give you. Guys, this stuff is so freaking smooth. It is refreshing. It's not too sweet like a lot of whiskeys out there, and it captures the unique spirit of what it means to be a cowboy and the American West in every single bottle, every single glass. It's made with the finest northern grains. It's cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
You know, I think we're just going to keep kicking the can down the road when it comes to talking about the Texans yesterday, because no matter how much I say that I think they're heading in the right direction, how can I based off of a 25-9 score yesterday? If you didn't watch the game, you're not going to believe me. If you watch the game, you're going to be like, okay, there were some nice things. The defense played well. Stroud seemed to get better as the game went along, but maybe we should just stick with this conversation about UT.
Had good chemistry with Robert Woods. All right, that's enough Texas.
I know, seriously. I want to ride the high of the vibes. The Astros did take two or three from the Padres. They're 2.5 games up in the AL West. A texter is mad that we were even talking about UT. We've been scratching and clawing and agonizing, finally getting to be 2.5 games in first place, and you want to talk overall losing programs. Well, that would be the Texans. We can't say that about UT overall losing. Underachieving, sure. Overall losing, I don't think you can do that. Even with Tom Herman, even with Charlie Strong, like there were decent moments. It's just not up to the standard that you guys have held yourself up to because of that stretch that you talked about, Sean, from Vince Young through Colt McCoy.
Well, from Ricky Williams to Colt McCoy.
Fair enough. We got Ryan on the board, 713-780-3776. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Polly?
Yo.
Well, so I spent a lot of time in Austin when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I became a UT fan. I did not go to the school.
Okay.
But I became a UT fan like very early on. You know, I was there for the 2007, you know, that run, one of the greatest college football games ever, if not the best. But here's the thing. I picked UT to be my team, And my whole dad's side of the family are from Oklahoma, so they're Sooner fans.
Oh.
So there's it, that.
Do you have daddy issues, Ryan? Because that does seem like something you would do to initiate some sort of confrontation with your father.
I do always find it interesting when people do that.
Yeah.
When they go against the family.
Yeah. Ryan hung up, so I guess we're never going to know the answer. But you know what? Perhaps silence is speaking volumes right now.
He wasn't ready to get that deep on a Monday morning.
I could be your therapist on a Monday morning. Yeah. I could do it.
Probably just wants to go back and watch highlights of A.D. Mitchell. Big game, A.D. Mitchell. Half his touchdowns in his college career are in the college football playoff. And then he just scored against Alabama.
And same with, I mean, Quinn Ewers is going to get drafted off of two games against Alabama. And not even two games. We're talking like a game and a half. All these throws that Ewers made downfield in this game were ridiculous. And if I'm not mistaken, Sean, I think Worthy had a drop. Like, there were a couple of drops in this game, too.
Worthy had a couple drops. But,
classic Laker. No, you know, that's what you expect.
Yeah, yeah. But
not quite a Celtic.
What?
Not quite a Celtic.
I don't.
He's the son of a Laker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that because you're five. It was funny explaining to people that James Worthy was the father of Xavier Worthy.
And is that true?
Wait, what? Yes. How do people not know that?
I thought they just had the same last name. I don't know.
I remember because people were like, wait, what? And I was like, wait, you don't know this? And then I had to look it up because I started to second guess myself.
Yeah, I thought he'd be taller. Anyway, thought it'd be taller. Quinn Ewers, 3 for 5 on passes 20-plus yards down the field. That means for his career, he is 7 for 12 on passes passes 20-plus yards down the field against Alabama and Oklahoma.
That is insane.
He is 5 and 43 against everyone else.
Oh, that's not good. That is a weird discrepancy.
Crazy. That's what we were talking about going into the game when we talked about it on Friday.
Right.
As far as like this team, this offense seems to kind of sputter. Or was sputtering against Rice, who, by the way, Rice might be good, y'all.
Whoa, you ain't kidding. Bayou Bucket. Dana Holgerson.
Rank Rice. They hung in there with Texas.
I got to say this, too. Like, the Cougs were getting their asses kicked in that game until they got the 21 points in the fourth quarter.
They responded.
Because I remember the one Rice fan I know was getting a little cocky on the text line that we had, only for us to see like the score changed very quickly because no one was watching the game. We were all focusing on other things.
I do like that at the same time, because I think they're happening either at the same time or definitely the Rice-Houston game went in to the Texas-Alabama game.
Yes.
So I like to imagine all your texts are about like, wow, big drop by Worthy. You can't be giving away all these points against Alabama. Milroe, honestly, I got to a point where I was hoping Milroe like played a little bit better so that Saban wouldn't bench him. Mm-hmm. That you get into the weird perverse, like, no, don't stink too bad, other quarterback, because I want you to stay in this game a little bit longer. Whoever their backup is might be able to throw it a little bit better. I just like to imagine everyone's talking about the Texas-Alabama game, and then you have one Rice friend texting you about, like, big stop here.
Pretty much. But I think he knew that no one was watching the game.
Oh, okay.
It was on our group chat line. Yeah, then one of my close UT friends, who actually listens to the show regularly, created drama on this sports chat line that I'm in because he basically called somebody a liar. And this person is really upset and has been demanding an apology for 24 hours. And I've just been throwing gas on the fire. I'm like, man, no one's ever going to take you seriously again because you got called a liar in a sports chat. It's been fun for me. It's been very fun
for me. So that's your version of the Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis debacle?
Yeah.
This whole weekend?
Did that happen over the weekend? Because I saw a meme of it, and I was like, oh, wow,
I think it might have started on Friday.
Because Hyde's going to jail for being a perv, right? Essentially,
what?
The guy who plays Hyde is going to jail for being a perv from that 70s show.
And they wrote letters to the judge asking for, like, leniency on him
They're friends.
Yeah, they're his friends. And I don't think they thought it would be public, and now they have to like answer for, or you know, I don't actually think they had to do this, but they decided to record like this weird apology video that I'd watched. I saw snippets of as I was scrolling through looking for different college football like tweets and games and stats and stuff, and I just kept seeing sad Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher's face as they're like, this is a very, you know, victims of sexual, so we have been advocates for victims, our track record says this. Just Such an unforced error.
Very much so. Oof. Yeah. Can't do that. Writing letters for people that are going to jail, thinking that it won't get out on top of that, too. Because, of course, they're going to leak this out. They're two celebrities. You can sell this to TMZ for probably like $30,000. Like, yeah. They pay top dollar for this stuff. Some more texts. 713-780-3776 to call into text. And somebody said, how about them Cowboys? We'll talk about that in the next segment. I'm a realist UT fan. I'm more optimistic this year, says 409 Josh, but UT may have the fans down in the next few months. I need to see success against a solid quarterback for me to buy all in. That makes sense. Alabama's quarterback really sucked. He sucked. Eventually Alabama was going to have a quarterback that wasn't good. But, man, that interception that he telegraphed that when he was throwing to his right, that one was really, really bad.
Yeah, he was not good the entire game. That's kind of what I was thinking we were going to see out of Jalen Milroe. He looked great against Middle Tennessee State, but less good against Texas.
More texts. This is also something that I think, Sean, is a fair thought. I don't think Alabama is as good as in the past. Mm-hmm. It's more of Saban hitting his Mac Brown. They will come to us phase. That started the downfall of UT. I think that's an interesting comparison. And I mean, really, in totality from those two games, more than saying Texas is back, I am saying that Texas has more talent than Alabama currently does. Does that continue with the way that Alabama's been recruiting for all this time? I don't know. It probably will be something where Alabama does get on equal footing in the not-too-distant future. I don't doubt Nick Saban. I'm not stupid. But right now, Texas has the better program than Alabama. I mean, the last 2 years, with a backup quarterback, they hung in against the future number one overall pick. And then on the road, they beat Nick Saban by 10.
I will say last year's Alabama team was still like a really, really good team. They still went 10-2, and their two losses were by like a point each like 3 points each. No, but I do agree that this is – I don't want to say like it's over for Alabama, but this is like where the cracks start to show when you start teetering into like – I mean, Georgia's won the last two national championships.
They have.
Including beating Alabama in the national championship game in the first one. So that's part of the reason why the Alabama – this is realistic, Sean. Skyping in right here.
Bringing down the mood.
I've taken off the Bevo head. This is not a bit anymore. That's why this Alabama win isn't as like – I feel like meaningful or earth-shaking as other times that Alabama's lost in the past, because, frankly, there's another team that's running the sport right now. It's the Georgia Bulldogs. And so that's kind of where Alabama's at. Last year, they're, again, a good team that was kind of getting propped up by Bryce Young, by having a really good quarterback.
Because they weren't they were not as talented last year. And everyone knew it. And it's sort of a reflection of like who the supporting cast was around Bryce Young, offensive line-wise, receivers-wise. It was a down year for Alabama last season. So you can see why Texas hung in that game the way that they did. And then, of course, they win this one, too. And like, it did feel inevitable watching that game, mainly because of Alabama's quarterback. But you're also like, this is the same stuff that we saw last year, where Alabama's secondary can't hang with receivers downfield. I don't know why that's the case. I don't know if that's just like a scheme thing that Sarkisian's able to take advantage of, but it was the same thing as last year.
I think some of it is Sark kind of coaching them up, but I think part of it is not just the secondary for Alabama, but that front seven, that defensive line. I don't know if they've just taken like an actual like step back as far as that, but in their games against Texas, they have not been good. Really, frankly, like they've lost that matchup in the two games the last 2 years,
100%.
Including this year. I there was no sack. Like Alabama did not get a sack on Quinn Ewers, and I think they only had two tackles for losses total in the game. And that's like when you're Alabama, like you can't do that, especially when Jalen Milroe is your quarterback. No offense, to Jalen Milroe. He's from Katy. He beat Katy High School with a team that wasn't Katy High School. He beat it with another Katy High School team that wasn't Katy. So, talented kid, but not quite ready for primetime, it looks like.
100%.
Speaking of not ready for primetime.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud and the Houston
Dallas. We're kicking the can further down the road. We are punting like the Texans probably should have
on that first 4th-and-1 and the later 4th down. We're throwing a play to the wide side of the field, expecting that in the NFL, a wide receiver is going to be able to outrun an entire defense. We're doing that. A couple more comments. I know we're a little bit late here. Someone said that I am welcome on the UT bandwagon because UT keeps it weird. And I think that's, once again, a joke about perhaps my sexual inclinations. Some more comments. This is from Old Lurk and Larry on the Twitch. I wouldn't have a problem with Texas, except for the fact they have sucked unprecedented amounts of butt since 2011. And they don't get that. Just because you won a game for the first time in a decade doesn't mean you can be a bleeping... I don't think I can say that.
No, just
douche to everyone. Be more humble and act like you have been there before.
Well, you just said in the thing, we haven't been there before since 2009. So, well, act like we've been there before.
I do think you are allowed to be arrogant. I'm just wondering
they're
how long
53-1 in their last 54 home games.
Here's another one. And I'm guessing this is from an Aggie too, Sean. 2023 Texas is 2021 A&M, 8-4 with a win against Alabama.
All right, we'll see. I mean, they don't have Jimbo Fisher coaching their team, so that's a plus for Texas.
That is true.
Hey, yeah, we haven't talked any Aggies. Why is that? Why haven't we talked any Texas A&M football?
No, we're not bringing the mood down.
No, why haven't we? I think it sounds like the text line's very interested in Texas A&M football. Let's talk about it.
It's a good point.
DJ Durkin killed a guy at Maryland, still gets to coach college football, and gave up the most points Texas A&M's given up in like 10 years.
Hmm. Makes you think.
Yeah, at least Bobby Petrino's got the offense right. They're willing to overlook all the character concerns of how they're molding these young men. As long as they get results on the football field. And I, can't argue with the results.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, stick around.
And tell.
Day.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Comment section, Twitch, text line, going through it. Some people are not happy with the amount of UT praise that has happened on this show. Listen, biggest story of the weekend. You can't deny that. Yeah, the Astros built on their lead, and we're happy about that and all. 2.5 games up on the AL West. The Texans stunk. More on them at some point, maybe. But Texas beat Alabama on the road. Texas A&M played like crap against Miami on the road.
First double-digit home loss for Nick Saban.
Yep.
Since 2003.
Yep.
When he coached LSU.
Yep.
Florida beat him, actually. Now, you love that.
Chomp, chomp, baby. Miami is what happened to A&M, because Sean did ask what happened to Texas A&M.
Couldn't catch the end of that game.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe they pulled it out.
We actually started the Texas game later because we were still watching the embers of the Aggies self-immolation in Miami. Because my buddy did not want to change it over to the Texas game. So we had to watch it on a small TV in the kitchen before eventually we switched over. I watched the game at a friend's house, and I was told that I was going to be set up with somebody who goes by, quote, Dr. Legs, end quote. That's the nickname. And I was like, oh, I was super excited. She didn't show up. Sad. Sad panda.
Must have had a patient or something.
No. Apparently, she just wanted to cuddle with her dogs. Yeah, I know. I'm going to be single forever. we have some more comments here. King of All Twitches says, smoking cigars after one game might be bad karma, Sean. Fishing with Dana says that wasn't a cigar he was smoking. Ha. Poor Marine. Texas fans now think they will be national champions. They're allowed to gloat today, man. They're allowed to gloat. It's just a matter of how do you keep the gloating down. But today I will allow the gloating. I am not going to pee on the parade. I'm not R. Kelly.
Thank you. You know what, Paul? Thank you for not being R. Kelly.
I'm not R. Kelly.
And not just in this case, but in all cases.
Correct. Thank you.
Although you do have a good, nice singing voice, much like R. Kelly.
Do you want me to sing?
No, I don't. Your mind's telling you no, but your body's telling you yes, I'm guessing.
So before we actually talk about the Texans, hey, the Texans were not the worst team in the NFL on Sunday, okay? Because holy crap, the New York Giants... That is some vintage primetime NFC East football. Dallas shellacked them 40-0. Dak Prescott didn't even throw for 150 yards in that game. And they
killed the New York Giants. Everything went wrong for New York. The Cowboys defense, which is unfortunately I had to go up against in fantasy football. I think they got like 50 points. They were really good in this one. And it wasn't even just Micah Parsons. But, man, if you're the Giants, you got to feel like absolute crap having paid Daniel Jones all of that money. Because there are severe limitations with that guy. And the Giants deserve credit for last year. Somehow scrabbling together a playoff season. And on top of that, winning a playoff game with Daniel Jones is truly impressive. But I do think that of the teams that made the playoffs last year, they've got to be close to the top as far as teams that will not make it a second straight year. Tough division that they're in as it is anyway with the Philadelphia Eagles already and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. But the Cowboys deserve credit. That was an ass-kissing. Kicking. That was an ass-kicking. I am kissing their ass for said ass-kicking as I try to speak the English language. We'll see what happens when they go up against actually good teams, but Cowboy fans also get to gloat. Watch part of that at SoMa in on Washington, and there were a lot of Cowboy fans in attendance at that sushi bar.
Aren't you glad that I'm not a Longhorn and Cowboys fan? Could you imagine having to do a show with me after that? After Sunday
Night
Football?
That would suck.
Because a large portion of the state, just had a
thank God
incredible.
Brad gone.
They had a weekend like the was it Randy Marsh in the South Park with all the stuff all over his room?
100%. Yes, 100%. They need a shower or two. Also, the Texans weren't as bad as newly paid Joe Burrow. The Bengals lost to the Browns 24-3. Deshaun Watson played like crap, and they still won that convincingly. Burrow was 14 of 31 for 82 yards. Also, the Texans have the Browns pick and not their own pick. So that sucks because it looks like the Browns, at the very least, are going to be competent this year.
It's going to be hard to get Quinn Ewers with the Browns pick.
Ryan Tannehill looked worse than the Texans. 3 interceptions for the Titans and a 16-15 loss to the Saints. Okay. While we continue to talk about comparisons with the Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud seemingly didn't have the worst debut of all the debuts yesterday. Jordan Love had the best one. 3 touchdown passes against the Bears for the Packers. 38-20, Green Bay wins. Anthony Richardson was more fun. He had a touchdown run. He had a touchdown pass. He had an interception and 4 sacks. And Jacksonville beat Indianapolis 31-21. But Stroud definitely looked better than Bryce Young. Bryce Young threw 2 interceptions just for 146 yards. They lost to Atlanta. The Panthers did 24-10. How about that?
You see the Bijan Robinson touchdown?
It was pretty impressive.
Very cool. You know where he went to school?
No, I actually don't, Sean. Can you tell me?
University of Texas.
No way.
Yeah. Also, when you're talking about the Bears, Roshon Johnson scored a touchdown.
Where did he go to school?
He was the backup running back last year for the University of Texas.
Well, will you look at that?
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa threw for 466 yards, 215 of them to Tyreek Hill, and 3 touchdowns. Miami beat the Chargers 36-34. I guess Mike McDaniel gets to vape a little bit and have some sort of ADD post-game rambling about how Brandon Staley ain't all that, but deservedly so. And the last game, I talked myself into excitement yesterday morning for my beloved New England Patriots, and they played like such dog bleep in the first quarter against the Eagles, and I wanted to die. They did dominate the last 3. It's a shame that Kayshon Boutte has no idea how to put his feet inside a field of play. Moral victory? That's sort of where I'm at as a Pats fan. I'm taking moral victories.
Man, they honored Tom Brady, the greatest winner of all time, and now we're doing moral victories with the
defense looked great, but yeah, I mean, look, Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien, when the rain stopped, it actually looked pretty impressive. Though Jones did have a couple of interceptions that were dropped. He had
one that wasn't dropped too.
I remember.
Poor effort on Jones on the tackle on that one. Did you see that?
It's better than the actual attempted tackle that he did of Chandler Jones on that play against the Raiders last year. So we take progress where we can get it. You may as well just not even try to tackle the guy. Anyway, that is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's 10-Minute Drill. Coming up next, you can talk about Texas kind of being back. You can talk about your beloved Astros increasing their lead in the American League West. But we're finally going to dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly from Houston's... So Sunday, I did wake up with legitimate excitement to watch the Houston Texans kick off the D'Amico Ryans era, to kick off the C.J. Stroud era. Truly, I woke up even with the knowledge that there's injuries on the offensive line, that Jimmy Ward wasn't going to be out there. I thought, okay, if they show a pulse against Baltimore, I will be able to walk away from Sunday happy. And they did have a pulse in the first half. Despite a multitude of errors, it was 7-6. The Ravens with a one-point lead on the Texans at halftime. Now, potentially the Texans could have had a lead at halftime if they hadn't burned all of their timeouts early. But that was to be expected. You got a rookie quarterback. You're on the road. You got a brand new offensive line. Then the second half happened, and you saw what the reality is going to be likely for the Texans this season. It's that they just do not have depth, and any injury is going to be felt physically right away, as you saw when George Fant suffered an injury, and all of a sudden, the Texans had to throw Michael Dieter into the fire. I didn't even know he was still on the team. I remember he had played in the preseason at guard, not at tackle. Texans did have a guy playing left guard who has played tackle before. I don't know, maybe you slide him out there. Kind of tricky to do it in the middle of a game. But right away, Stroud gets sacked. That's the game. A game that I think is closer than the final score indicates. But if you didn't watch it, you don't care. And that's where we're at. And I want to say that like they took a step forward in this game, but am I being truthful in saying that they did? They are just babies. So I guess that's the defense. If you're somebody who wants to cape for the Houston effing Texans, you could do that. I thought Stroud got better as the game went along. I did think the defense did a really good job of containing that Baltimore offense. But I mean, ultimately, this is probably going to be a long year. Again, I'm probably going to hate myself on Sundays. Again, because I'm stuck watching this team. And
Altuve drills one deep to left field. Altuve, two-run home run.
I needed that.
Number 16 on the year, it's 3-0.
I needed that. I really needed that.
Because there was another game that was going on Sunday.
Yes, the Astros scored more runs than the Texans scored points.
You know, I saw Brian McTaggart and Chandler Rome point that out on X. They're on X in the press box.
There is an element of local sports media that truly despises the Texans. Like, just hates them. And I think hates the focus on them as well. And I got to say, I totally get it. I totally get it. As someone who used to poo-poo them covering every single Astros game circa 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014... I totally get why they're doing the victory laps themselves or cackling at the expense of the Texans. You're right. It was Brian McTaggart. It was Chandler Rome in a since-deleted tweet. Here's what Brian McTaggart tweeted out in the middle of yesterday afternoon's Texans game and Astros game. Houston scoring updates. Ravens 25, Texans 9. Astros 9, Padres 1. Of course, that score would increase. Chandler Rome responded to it saying, Jim Crane grilling hamburgers after this one? Brian McTaggart responded, I'm sure sucker media, in quotation marks, damn, will eat them up. To which Chandler Rome responded, I was told Coach D'Amico would turn it all around. And look, they got the high ground here. They have the high ground. You can't say anything in response to that. They're right. It's kind of dumb that we talk about the Texans as much as we do, even with a rookie quarterback and a new head coach, which is why we have kicked this as far as we possibly could down to the back of the show. Hit story of the day number one. Texas beat Alabama. We haven't even talked about Texas A&M and Miami. We're sparing you, Aggies fans. We're sparing you from the disappointment. Number two, it's the Astros taking 2 of 3 and having a 2.5 lead in the game lead in the American League West. Three, it's same old Texans. It's same old Texans. Yes, it's got a new cover. It's got a new paint job. It's got a new boob job. Screw it. But that's the same thing. It is. You know, they might look perky, but they still look a little weird. They still aren't necessarily worth staring at that long.
I will say the one boob that's defense looks a lot better than the one boob that's offense. I think they're a little uneven.
Oh, yeah. They might be cookie monsters. You understand what I'm saying there? You know, like Cookie Monster's got his eyes all over the place?
I understand what you're
saying. You know what?
Good imagery.
One of the yacht weeks I went on, Greece Yacht Week.
How are you being more insufferable in this the last five words than I am?
Because I am a cake-eating influencer, sir. Anyway.
One of the yacht weeks that you're on.
When I was summering in Greece, how about that? When I was summering in Greece, I had a friend who was very proud of her bolt-ons. And she felt the need to just go topless one day. And we're like, okay, empowerment, you know? But it's never good when one pointer's going northwest and the other's going southeast. Like, that doesn't add up. I don't know. So anyway, there's that.
And that's your Houston Texans week one recap.
That's what this team is right now. I suppose you could go take them into another surgeon and hide for a couple of months and not show anybody. But right now, this is who they are. And it's going to be tough to get through it. And honestly, I mean, CJ Stroud, is he going to get hurt this year? He got sacked 5 times in this game. He was running for his life. He made a couple of nice plays while running around, but there was hesitation. And it's going to be, I think, difficult for him to learn how to play in an offense where he's right under center. The receivers, as the game went on, they weren't bad, I guess. But they couldn't really run the football as much as they wanted to. And yeah, it's just going to be a tough watch this year, guys. It sucks because you want to be excited about it. And Baltimore's a good team. I do really think that the game was a lot closer than the final score indicates, but I don't want to. I feel like I'm trying to mislead you if I'm saying, like, yeah, like they took a step forward. Like, no, I can't in good faith do that today. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. All of those conversations are on the table. Is Texas back? How do we keep Texas fans like Sean Mapes from becoming too insufferable? Are the Astros going to be able to clinch the American League West in a very short amount of time, given the struggles of the Rangers and Mariners? Are the Texans ever not going to be the Texans? It's all there for you. It's all on the table. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Damn, we were 4-0. With NFL picks over the weekend and our little pick six. Talking about me, because damn, I know football. But tonight, mybookie.ag, you want to bet on a game? You've got the Bills and the Jets. Seems like there's going to be a lot of offense in this one. 45 points, the over-under. Do you think that Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers are about to get into a shootout with one another? Also, the Jets are just 2-point dogs. Look, they're cute and all with Aaron Rodgers, but their offensive line has some issues. I really want to see how this Jets offense looks with Aaron Rodgers behind that offensive line. You could take the over in this game. I'm going to just take the Bills by 2. You can do that at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You get a sick sign-up bonus when you join, and on top of that, you can gamble on more than just football. There's live casinos and everything. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.